Good morning, good morning, good morning. We want to thank you for joining us here at A Heart for the People Christian Ministry here at WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Lee West, and we want to thank you for joining us today on this beautiful Sunday morning. Rain or shine, it's a day that we are grateful to be alive, and we thank you for joining us this morning. My last few shows have been geared toward men. Men and grieving, you know, men seem to really be able to hide their hurt very well, where women are very, they express it, they show it. I, for one, who have suffered the loss of my daughter, who was murdered in 2016, I have no problem with grieving whatsoever. One thing about grief is relentless. It doesn't care about time, it doesn't care about the day, it doesn't care about where you are, what you're doing. But we know that sometimes men are excluded when it comes to the death of a child or a loved one. Most people flock to the mother to console her, and dad's kind of left standing on the side. So there may be some people out here today who may say, you know, well, how do you help a man grieve? How do you help a man get through what he is dealing with? So today I'm just going to go over some ideas and maybe some of the things to look for. You know, a man has lost a loved one, his wife. And the thing about it with men, grief can also come in losing a job, losing a promotion. There's different forms of grief, but today we're concentrating on losing a child or a loved one to the senseless violence that is taking place. You know, I received a call this morning concerning a mother who needs help. You know, her son was murdered about six years ago, I think she said, and the mother's, you know, contemplating suicide. Her daughter was contemplating suicide. Grief takes effect and gets a hold of you, and there's no right or wrong way to deal with it, but we definitely don't want to see anybody end their life because of the loss of a loved one. So there's a man that you may care about is grieving, and someone he loved has died, and you would like to help him during this difficult time. So I'm going to go over some things that may help you just to even, you know, plant that seed and start a conversation with this person or that male that may be going through the grief of a loved one. Men feel the need to be strong. Even in the face of tragic loss, many men in our society still feel the need to be self-contained, stoic, if you will, and to express little or no outward emotion. It is very much in vogue today to encourage men to openly express their feelings, but in practice, few men do so. The outward expression of grief is called mourning. All men grieve when someone they love dies, but if they are to heal, then they must also mourn. People say to me, Reverend West, I don't understand how you, your daughter was murdered, and yet you walk around with a smile on your face, and you have no problem in helping others and making sure that they're okay, and just reaching out and being an encouragement. So one of the things that I tell them is, you know, everybody grieves differently, and especially men. Men do not grieve like their wives or their girlfriends or females. Men have a separate way of grieving. Children grieve differently, and it's something that we must understand as well. And I plan to get into grieving siblings and children later on down the line. But my concentration right now, as I said before, is on men. You can help by offering a safe place for your friend or the man to mourn. Tell him you'd like to help him. Offer to listen. You know, that's one of the key things that's important when you're just listening to somebody who's grieving, is listen. So many times we want to interject our opinions. We want to tell them what we think. And sometimes men just need somebody to listen to them. A lot of times you don't see men outwardly just openly tell their story, because they're afraid of somebody judging them or somebody trying to tell them how they should grieve. And that's not the way we do things. That whenever he wants to talk, we need to listen, open our ears, our minds, and our hearts, and hear what he is trying to say. Don't worry so much about what you will say. That's the problem. And I find this even in moms. You know, she's sitting there telling her story, and then it's being interjected what you may feel. But sometimes just a good listening ear can do wonders. And it also shows that person that you truly care about their feelings. Just concentrate on the words that are being shared with you. Let him know that in your presence, at least it's okay for him to express whatever feelings he might have, sadness, anger, guilt, fear. And he can do this around you and be comfortable. He doesn't have to be strong, because you will offer support without judgment. And that's very important. For me, I went to counseling maybe 2 days after my daughter's murder. My daughter's murder was very brutal. It was very horrific. And what this guy, you know, did to my daughter. But I am a pastor, and because of my faith and my trust and my belief in God, I turned what happened to my daughter into something positive, and that is being able to start the Central Philadelphia chapter of Parents of Murdered Children, where we support mothers and fathers, families who have lost a loved one to this senseless violence out here. You know, it's so sad that every day you turn on the news first thing in the morning, and that's what you hear is, you know, someone being murdered or a teenager being shot, you know, multiple times and what have, and becomes very hard. Men feel the need to be active. Now, as I said before, one of the biggest issues that we face today is when we are trying to tell a man about grieving, or anybody about grieving, we want to tell them how to grieve. We want to tell them how long they should grieve, and you should not do that. You cannot tell a person how long they should be sad. You know, oh, this happened X amount of years ago. Why are you still dwelling on this? Listen, my child is not a number. My child is not a docket. My child is not a file. My child is a human being, someone that I took care of, somebody who grew up with me to a certain extent, someone who's been a part of my life. Now, my daughter was 19 years old. So that's 19 years that has been taken away from me. I have memories, I have pictures, but there's nothing like the real thing. It's sad because you have some who have been passed away. My daughter's been 6 years now, so you may have some that have lost their loved one 10 years ago, 15 years ago, but they are still hurting. They have never, you know, you can't let go. You can't just say, okay, they're gone, that's it. My wife and I could be going out to dinner, and we're laughing, we're joking, we're smiling, and all of a sudden a song comes on the radio, and I just break down in tears. I could be in the market, and I see my daughter's favorite food, and I just break down in tears. So there's no, you know, grief doesn't say, oh, he's in church right now, so I'm gonna leave alone. Grief pops up when it gets ready. So active problem solving is another common male response in grief. If a father's child dies of SIDS, and this is just an example, for example, the father may become active by involving himself in a fundraiser for SIDS research. A husband whose wife is killed may focus on legal circumstances surrounding the death, such as such activities can be healing for grieving men and should be encouraged. There's not enough resources out here. There needs to be more. There is some, but there's not enough resources out here for men to be able to reach out and say, hey, I need help. You know, I don't want to be judged. I don't want to be talked about. I don't want to be looked down on or laughed at. So it's important that we take the opportunity when you see a man who is going through to talk to him, you know, say, hey, man, I'm here for you. No, don't force him to talk. Don't force yourself on him. Just let him know, hey, I'm just a phone call away. If it's your next door neighbor, hey, I'm right next door. If you want me to stop by and, you know, we have lunch together or something, I'm here. And that's how you begin to reach out to people and let them know that you're available. Men feel the need to be protectors. Men are generally thought of as protectors of the family. They typically work to provide their spouse and children with warm, safe home, safe transportation, and good medical care. So when a member of his family dies, that man of the house may feel guilty. No matter how out of his control the death was, the man may feel deep down that he has failed at protecting the family and the people he cares for. So I'm going to use myself as an example. When my daughter passed and we got the call, her body was found and what have you. The first thing that went through my mind is, what could I have done different to protect her? Or what did I not do enough of to protect her? What could I have said to her? The circumstances with my daughter is she was getting ready to turn 20. She was 19 years old. She was on her way to celebrate her birthday and start having a good time. Could I have said, no, don't go? The thing with our kids today, with my daughter, she was a free spirit. And pretty much when she made up her mind to do something, that's what she was going to do. So why am I saying that? That sometimes, no matter what you say or what your thought process is, their thought process may be different. So, you know, you can't beat yourself up because, oh, I didn't say this, oh, I didn't say that, or I should have taken her, locked her in the house and took her key. Or, you know, I'm just going off here that these are things that may go through your mind. You don't, unfortunately, today have that kind of control. And I'm not saying every parent is like that or every family is like that, every situation is like that. My daughter knew what she wanted and when she wanted to do something, especially when it comes time to celebrate a birthday. She was very excited about celebrating her birthday, and that's what she wanted to do. She wanted to go head north towards New York. One of the other things that we need to do when we are helping men is to avoid cliches. Sometimes words, particularly cliches, can be extremely painful for mourners. Cliches are trite comments often intended to provide simple solutions to difficult realities. Men are often told, you'll get over this. Don't worry. You and Susie, so to speak, can have another child. Think about the good times. Comments like these are not constructive. Instead, they hurt because they diminish the very real and very painful loss. You know, and that's the sad thing. One of the sad things, people will talk to you and in their mind, they're doing good. They're giving you advice. They're telling you what you should do or should not do, how you should feel, or should not feel, how long you should grieve and how long you should not grieve. And in a sense, it gives that person, you know, do you really care about how I feel? Do you really care about what I'm going through? How are you going to tell me how long I should grieve over the loss of my daughter or the loss of my son? So it's important that if a person wants to stand up in the middle of their living room and scream, or go out in their backyard and scream, if they want to take a couple plates and throw them outside and break some plates, they have the right to do that. And we need to understand we do not have that right to say, stop. One of the things, especially with men, because men don't grieve like they should, they don't express themselves like they should, a lot of times it gets bottled up inside of them. And when it gets bottled up inside of them, it comes out at the wrong time. The death of a child, the death of a loved one has caused divorce. It has turned into abuse. And it doesn't necessarily mean physical abuse. It could be verbal abuse. It turns into the blame game. It's your fault that our son is dead. It's your fault that our daughter went up there and now she's dead. You should have told her not to go. But when the first thing when a teen is declared an adult, they feel that they can make their own decision. So you have to think in your mind, would it have really helped if I told her not to go? One of the things that I concentrated on, I said, man, you know, this happened 2 hours away from us, you know, and I always wonder, you know, what were her last words? What did she say? You know, what was her mind thinking? Was she calling out for me? Was she calling out for her mother? You know, we sit back and we ponder on these things. And even my daughter was murdered September 1st of 2016. And here we are in 2022. And these same questions are still in my mind. I'm still wondering, you know, what could I have done different? What could I have said? How could we have changed the course of time or the actions that took place? But those are questions that you may never, ever get the answer to. You know, they may be in the back of your mind. And no matter what kind of counseling you get or who you talk to, you may never get those answers to those questions. So we tell people, you know, but don't just attend the funeral, then disappear. Remain available afterwards as well. Grief is a process, and you have to remember that. Grief is a process. It's not something you can snap your finger and it's over with. And it may take your friends years to reconcile himself to his new life. And that new life is, I'm without my daughter for me. I won't see her again. I won't hear her laughter again. I won't get to walk her down the aisle during her wedding. I'll never have any grandchildren from her. You know, these are things that stick to you like glue. Remember that your grieving friend may need you more in the weeks and months after the funeral than at the time of death. See, and a lot of people don't understand that. But see, what happens is, and I have preached this even at homegoing services, and I said, you know, everybody's here today. Today's at the funeral, the burial, the repast. Family comes together. They eat, they drink, they have a good time remembering the loved one. But at some point in time, especially those who live out of town, everybody goes their separate ways. And when you get home, it's quiet. Nobody's there but you and maybe your wife or, you know, the loved one's siblings. But it's quiet. So what they're saying here is it's important that you keep in touch. Don't let a person, just because the funeral is over, just because, you know, things are over and done, call them. Call him. Let him know, hey, I'm still here for you. I know the house is quiet. And see, when you get in a quiet house, your mind starts to think. You know, you have to pass that bedroom where that child slept at. You may have to pack up the clothes that child wore, you know, clean the room and what have you. I spent a lot of time, for me, I spent a lot of time on social media, and I found things, you know, that my daughter had posted or written about me, and it was beautiful. I even found a video where she was just laying there, and out of the blue, she said, "Hey, Dad," and I dropped the phone and everything, but it scared me, you know, because it was not something I expected. But out of the blue, she said, "Hey, Dad." So, you know, it helps. I saved them. I save pictures galore. I have things to look back on. Does it mean that, it helps in the fact that she's not physically here, but at the end of the day, I know that, you know, I won't see her in the physical, again. So, you know, you have to be there for a person. You have to be able to help him get through this, not just during the funeral, but even after. Beware of holidays and other significant days, birthdays. As a man, you may have a difficult time during special occasions like holidays and other significant days, such as birthdays of the person who died and anniversary of their death. With us, my daughter's anniversary of death, which is September 1st, and her birthday is September 5th. So, you know, we have a double bubble where there's two things, you know, pretty much back to back. We get together, we may do a balloon release, you know, between her date of death and her birth date. We may have a dinner or, you know, something. We want to continue the positive side of memory. Yes, her death was brutal. Yes, you know, going through the trial and what have you was hard, but we still want to honor her. And what I try to tell people is, even though you have gone through this, think about what your child would want. Would your child want you to be sad? Would your child want you to be hidden in the house and, you know, shades drawn, it's dark in there, and you're not talking to anybody, you're not eating, you're not doing this, you're not doing that? If they were here, is that how they would want you to live? Is that how they would want you to be? They know, you know, I always say my daughter's watching over me. She's looking down on me. I get different signs to say, hey, this is Robin. I'm still here. Would she want me? She lived her life the way she wanted to live it. And she was happy. She loved family. She loved animals. She wanted to be a veterinarian, you know. And these are things that keep me smiling, that keep me going. So as we move forward, these are appropriate times to visit your friend or write a note, simply give him a quick phone call. Your ongoing support will be appreciated and healing in the end. He may not show it during the time that you're doing it. He may not show it before you start doing it. He may just clam up. But once he sees the consistency, and that's what's important, is consistency. Once he sees the consistency of you responding to him, of you letting him know you're here, trying to talk to him, you know, eventually things will change. So there are warning signs that you need to watch out for. Men who deny and repress their real feelings of grief may suffer serious long-term problems. Among these are chronic depression, withdrawal and low self-esteem, deterioration in relationships and friends and family, physical complaints such as headaches, fatigue, backaches, chronic anxiety, agitation, restlessness, chemical abuse or dependency, indifference toward others, insensitivity, and workaholic. In other words, I want to go to work. I want to stay at work. Now, me, I took off, you know, of course, time to grieve. I took off time from work to be with my family, to readjust. But eventually, I went back to work, and I'm glad I did. At that time, I was a police officer for the School District of Philadelphia. I always tell people that I lost a daughter, but I gained many daughters. And in gaining many daughters, their support helped me get through what I was going through. I even gained more sons because of what I went through. Just 2 weeks ago, I went to a funeral of one of the young ladies who was there for me when my daughter was murdered. She ended up being murdered, sitting in her car, and somebody pulled up and just opened fire, and she was killed. So I had to go to her funeral. Of course, going to her service, I saw a lot of the young students who graduated now, but were there when I was there, and they embraced me. I embraced them. It brought back a lot of memories. So there's always ways to get through these things if it's what you truly are looking to do. With those feelings of grief that I just read, if you see any of these symptoms in your male friend, talk to him about your concern. Find helping resources for him in his community, such as support groups, grief counselors. You can't force your friend to seek help, but you can make it easier for him to seek help. You know, drop a couple nuggets on him and say, hey, man, listen, this is a good friend of mine. I want you to talk to him. Maybe able to help you through. Understand the importance of the loss. Always remember that death of someone loved is shattering experience. As a result of this death, your friend's life is under reconstruction. Consider the significance of the loss and be compassionate and available in the weeks and months to come. It's important to them. It may not be that important to you. And you may say, come on, man, let's go out and get some food. You know, I want to get you out of this house. It's dark in here. But they may not be ready. They may not be ready. It is a reconstruction. Their life has changed forever. You know, and your children may be home and they've lost a child. You know, and they think about, well, how can you come over here and talk to me about how I should be feeling? All your children are home. I've lost my child. How do you know how I feel? How do you know how long I should grieve? And that's another big issue. You know, people sit back and say, you've never lost a child before. How are you going to tell me how I should feel? How are you going to tell me how I should grieve? So be patient. Be patient with them. I want you to know that, you know, even in my loss, my wife was a big support. My coworkers, oh man, they rallied around me and really brought me through a lot of the situations that I was dealing with. You know, there's a lot involved when you lose a loved one. You're talking, especially to murder. You're talking about court, going back and forth to court. That's emotional. That's stressful. The young man who murdered my daughter got 160 years. You know, so it's not easy. It's not easy at all. But you have to be patient. You have to offer the support, offer the help, offer compassion. And don't try to tell them how they should do things. Just be there for them so they know that you care. And in doing that, it will open them up a little bit. he'll feel a little more comfortable, you know. And he said, I thank you for being here for me. I thank you for being there. Because once the funeral is over, everybody goes home. You almost feel like everybody's forgotten about you. You almost feel like, you know, they were only there for the service. They were there for the food. Now they're doing their thing. So I want to say to you today, thank you for joining me, People Christian Ministry. This is Reverend Lee West, your host, here at WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. Have a blessed day. Remember, I love you, but God loves you best. Face is painted on the walls. I've been trying to forget all the moments that we spent, 'cause now I